Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Wednesday, December 18th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And I hope you guys all had a glorious Tuesday, easily the worst day of the week. You are now officially to the midweek point. You're basically at the weekend. It's basically Christmas. It's actually kind of sad how close Christmas is. I feel like the best time of the year is flying by. I guess the exciting Eagles football will do that, but make sure you get all your Christmas shopping done, get all those last minute Christmas movies in, because this time next week, if I'm correct, I think it'll be Christmas Eve. So very exciting and very sad at the same time. But we still have a week until then. We still have another Eagles game until then, which means we have plenty to talk about on today's podcast. Going to get into an exciting thing Brandon Graham said, something I tried to tell you guys about, and he kind of confirmed it. So going to get into that. Jay Glazer of Fox Sports with another update on the Jalen Hurts AJ situation. But an interesting little note in there about something that happened during the bye week. And then we have what the coordinator said, and then me, Spike Eskin, Ike Reese, and Jack Fritz talked about why Nick Sirianni isn't in the Coach of the Year discussion, and I arm wrestled Spike live on air, so stay tuned for that to see who wins, but I think we all know who won that one. So let's get into it. On the schedule today, Nick Sirianni scheduled to speak to the media at 12:10, his normal press conference time, as is always the case. When the team is winning, just not as many pressing things to ask him, but do want to ask him, you know, a few different things. So that will be carried, I would assume, live on WIP, and then anything interesting he has to say will be on the pod tomorrow, plus across all the various social networks. 2:15, practice begins, the most important practice of the week, because it gives us a look at who's out there, and obviously we'll talk about it with the injury report in a minute, but you know, we'll see if Landon Dickerson is out there. 4:05, the locker room opens. Jalen Hurts speaks to the media. So should be a bit of a calmer Wednesday locker availability than it was last week when everyone was waiting to talk to AJ. But still will be interesting to hear what the players have to say nonetheless. And by the way, thank you to everybody that listened to yesterday's pod. Always warms my heart when people reach out to me to tell me I said something wrong, because it means you guys are listening, and that means a lot to me. But I said yesterday on the pod that the Eagles could win the division back-to-back years, first time in 20-plus years, whatever it was. Obviously, they didn't win the division last year. That was my mistake. That was my bad. You know, just major classic whoopsie-daisy by me there. And obviously, with that collapse, they didn't win the division. So my fault on that. But thank you to everybody that reached out to tell me. So outside of that, the injury report, you know, obviously they didn't practice today, so there is no injury report. But tomorrow, like I said, we'll see if Landon Dickerson's out there. We'll see if Saquon Barkley's a full participant. Sidney Brown, I would imagine, won't be. And then I would expect Jalen to be one, but obviously with his finger being, as he called it, shattered, you know, it'll be at least interesting to see what he does out there. So Landon Dickerson, Sidney Brown, Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts are the guys to keep an eye out for. And then plus potentially any new injuries that maybe we don't know happened during the Pittsburgh game. So let's get right into it. Brandon Graham was on the WIP morning show, and he was asked about the possibility of playing in the Super Bowl. Now, when this initially happened, I said I thought there was a chance he would play in the Super Bowl. And the reason I thought that is because it wasn't a lower body injury. It's probably the last year of his career. It would be the last game of his career in the Super Bowl. And I think he would play. And I don't think you have to even be even close to 100% to play with a tricep injury to go out there and play 3 or 4 snaps. So Brandon Graham was asked about it, and here's what he had to say.
Any chance of you being back if the team reaches the Super Bowl? Like, in your early weeks of rehabbing, is it possible or is it off the table?
Man, anything is possible. So that's how I'm gonna feel. That's how I'm gonna fill it in. But just know we working, trying to see what happens. We got to get there. And so I guess I'll be ready to tell you that when I get there.
So maybe he's using this as a motivator to himself. Maybe it's possible that it's not realistic, but I'm telling you, I think if they get to the Super Bowl, I think Brandon Graham will be playing in that Super Bowl. Now, the Eagles will have a bit of a tough decision to make. Like, if Brandon Graham is active but can only play in 2 or 3 snaps because of his tricep, like, then that's tough. Like, do you weaken the roster a little bit to give Brandon Graham a spot? And I think the answer is yes. If Brandon feels he can play and the doctors feel he could play, the emotional boost of getting Brandon Graham back out on that field is absolutely worth the risk you would take that potentially the back end of the roster ends up not being as strong. I just think Brandon in uniform, breaking the team down, playing in the Super Bowl, like, that is not something you pass up because of roster construction. So I think if they get there, Brandon will play. That's my guess. And I think it'll be absolutely extremely uplifting and huge for this team if he does, because, man, they love him on that roster. I know they've talked repeatedly about playing for him, and if he can go out there and suit up in the Super Bowl, that's going to be a big boost for this team, and it's absolutely something I think they should do and something they will do if he's able to. Next up, Jay Glazer of Fox Sports was on his podcast. Everyone go check it out. It was a good listen. And he talked about Jalen Hurts and he talked about the Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown drama. But then he also talked about a meeting with Brandon Graham, Big Dom, and Jalen during the bye week and kind of what that was. So here's Jay Glazer talking about the fallout from the AJ and Jalen thing and then the meeting that they had with Brandon Graham and Big Dom.
Well, I will tell you this. The drama was way bigger outside the building than inside the building. The first team meeting after Brandon Graham said what he said, Jalen and AJ got up and they're like, man, we're good. Just everybody here knows we're fine. Dapped each other up like, we're good. Then Brandon got up and he apologized for being a distraction. You know, Brandon's a great dude. And he just woke out of turn there. But I was told about it. It's like, dude, people there are like, it's going to galvanize. It's just going to make us, trust me, when this stuff happens, it turns us more into a rock. We get to fight the world. And that's what they are, man. Eagles football is bully football. You know, the way they get after you on defense, and but certainly that offensive line, man, they just beat you down and beat you down and beat you down. The thing that nobody knows, and this is a credit to Jalen, is in the bye week, Brandon Graham actually with Big Dom went to his house and said, hey, man, we need you to kind of connect more with everybody here. Right? As a quarterback, you can kind of get lost in that. So much other stuff you got to do. And he went out of his way. He met with the offensive line, connected. He met with Sirianni like 3 times or several times. Connect with him. Connected with, like, he went out of his way with Graham, with everybody, to connect with them more, saying, okay, I understand this more of a quarterback position than me just sitting here with the game plan and, you know, making sure I could, you know, throw here and throw there. And they all credit him with doing a great job for it. And it's not out there how good of a job he's done to connect with his teammates.
So I will say, just to put it out there, I asked AJ Brown about him and Jalen talking to the team in a team meeting, and he said that's not true. So just putting that out there. But Jay Glazer over the years has been the best NFL insider, you know, one of the best, if not the best NFL insider. So I still think everything he says matters. And him saying that Brandon Graham and Big Dom went to Jalen's house to talk to him about being more, you know, I guess connecting with people more, maybe being a little more outgoing, for lack of a better term, it's interesting. Now, this is something I think the team has wanted from Jalen, you know, for a little bit. I think it's something that at times he's been good at. It's times they wish he would be better at. I think that's probably like with all people. But Brandon and Big Dom, and noteworthy Big Dom was there. Big Dom, really big part of the organization, a part of everything they do, decision making, being around players, just a critical part of the operation. Big Dom being there is noteworthy. So, obviously they haven't lost since the bye week. It's clearly it clearly is one of the most productive bye weeks in franchise history when you consider just they haven't lost since then. The offense looks better. And it seemed like Jalen and everything was going great. Obviously, with the Jalen and AJ stuff, maybe not so much. But I just think this shows, again, like how important Brandon Graham is, how important he is to leadership. And like it's also important to note that Brandon went to Jalen's house to talk to him about being more outgoing and being, you know, more connected to people. And he's also the one that went out there and said that him and AJ need to be better. So, like, you can believe what you want to believe. We've done this for over a week. I know people want to move on from it, but it's obvious something was there. I mean, Blaine said, you know, brothers fight and they get over it. Doesn't mean it's still an issue, any of that. It's obvious there was something there. It's obvious something Brandon's been trying to deal with. I think you could hear the frustration in his voice when he talked about it. Maybe some of it stems from that meeting. Like, clearly he's close to Jalen if he went to his house and talk to him about it. So Jalen, I should say Brandon being a really good leader in this instance, you know, saying it on the radio, a risky move. We've talked about that to ad nauseum. Is that the expression? We've talked about that quite a bit. But yeah, obviously BG is very informed as to what's going on with the Jalen and AJ situation. And it's clear it's something he's been trying to fix and work on. And that's why you bring Brandon back for that type of veteran leadership. So next up, the coordinators did talk on Tuesday, and Vic Fangio was asked about Nolan Smith and the kind of year he's having and what surprised him about his play. And here's what Vic Fangio had to say about Nolan Smith.
With Nolan, how unusual is it to see an edge that size be as physical as him as you know, embrace playing the run and that kind of thing?
It's unusual in today's day. But again, like you said, I think you used the right word. You said embrace it. You know, you got to embrace the challenges of your position. Everybody does, where they might be a little deficient, either from a size or a movement standpoint, and learn to work with it. And he's done that.
He's been the guy to take the biggest jump in snaps after BG's injury. Why was that?
Well, he was the next up. You know, it was Sweat, BG, and him. So his kicked up and Hunts have kicked up.
Yeah, Nolan's been awesome this year. We've talked about it a little bit on this pod about how he's turned from, you know, a below average and well, to a player that we didn't even know was an NFL player, to a player that was below average, to a player that was average, to a player that was good, and then slowly worked his way up to you know, being an above average NFL starter. And I thought against the Steelers, he played his best game of the season. In the season, he's had a really good year. He has 5.5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 10 quarterback hits. Obviously, that's way more than he had last year when he did not even play. But I remember in training camp as a rookie watching him and saying, this guy could be really good. Like, I didn't think he looked as undersized as other people did. I thought he had a quick jump off the ball. And obviously, last year, my eye for talent didn't look great. He didn't have a great year. But this year, he's been really, really good. I think you could argue he's been their best edge rusher this season. I think Josh Sweat's been better as a pure pass rusher. But I think Nolan is so good against the run. And then you add in the pass rush ability. And yeah, I think he's having an outstanding year. I think Vic Fangio is right. He is getting stronger. He is using his physicality more. He's not purely a speed guy. And it's a huge development for this team, because if Nolan ends up being like a really, really good edge rusher, man, the edge rusher position starts to look a lot different. Maybe you bring Josh Sweat back. Maybe Bryce Huff has a better second, or I shouldn't even say second half of the season. Maybe Bryce Huff looks better in a new role when he comes back. He's not playing as many snaps. Like, things could change quickly. I still think edge rusher, when draft comes, is a position we're going to talk a lot about. But I think Nolan's been awesome, and it's pretty clear the Eagles feel that as well. And it does change some of their offseason planning, if that's the case. All right, finally, Michael Clay was asked about Cooper DeJean fumbling the one of the punts that he caught, or didn't catch, well, caught it and then fumbled on Sunday, and kind of what it showed about him as a person that the next one he took for a big gain. So here's Michael Clay talking about Cooper DeJean.
What's a teaching point for Cooper on the play where he fumbled?
Yeah, it was more of, you know, our fundamentals in terms of ball security. You know, it was a little loose, as you probably could see on the TV copy. It was kind of low, below him there. We want to get our, you know, our wrist above our elbow there. And when we get to that contact point, you know, putting two hands, you know, a clasp hand on it, just to make sure if there, you know, it was a good hit by 93 right there, but we have two hands on the ball. We have an opportunity to at least secure it right there. He did a good job getting the 11 yards. And at some point, you know, let's just protect the ball right there, not put our defense in a tough situation.
What did it say about him the very next return? He comes back and returns 22 yards.
Yeah, it shows a lot on who that person is. You know, to be able to put that play away, you know, one, you know, the mental strength he has to come back and have an opportunity to help the team in any way he can. You know, he does a great job on defense, obviously. But going back out there and on that fourth down, getting 23 yards, putting the ball at the plus 45, and I think we got a touchdown out of it, you know, really helps. And it just shows his mental strength to come back, kind of flush that bad play away and come back and help the team out.
Yeah, I could tell you that I don't think Vic Fangio is a big fan of Cooper being back there with how important he is to their defense. Vic Fangio was also asked about whether he was worried that would ruin Cooper's confidence, that, you know, fumbling that punt. And he said no, and that clearly ended up being the case. Cooper had a good game, rebounded from a poor game against Carolina. And look, he's going to keep being out there until Covey's ready. I think there's a chance Covey plays this weekend. I think it's probably looking good for that. But he's the backup punt returner. And when they need a big punt, he might be somebody they go to, or a big punt return, I should say. So good to see him rebound from that fumbled punt. I think all year him and Quinyon have shown a real mental toughness when it comes to just adjusting to the NFL, their first rookie season. It's crazy. It's almost over. It really, really is wild. This year is coming to an end. Hopefully it ends in New Orleans, but it's crazy. It's coming to an end. And I think Cooper has shown mental toughness throughout this season. So not surprised he responded well to that drop punt, and not surprised the team still has a ton of confidence in him. So on the other side, I was on the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on Tuesday, and we got into a discussion about why Nick isn't in the Coach of the Year race. And it really is crazy he's not. I mean, he belongs on the short list, if not the top two or three candidates, but he's not. There's like five or six, seven coaches ahead of him. So talked to Spike and Ike about that, was curious for their perspective. And then me and Spike, we arm wrestled. So that'll be some fun live. It was fun live radio. Maybe it'll be some fun podcasting as well. I'm not sure. But on the other side, there is Spike, Ike, Fritz, and me. But I have to say it because it feels weird not to end the pod without it. He's Elliot. I'm James. Talk to you guys on the other.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like Terry Bradshaw. I get it now, too.
You're quick, man. You are quick.
Whoville?
How many people, the percentage of our listeners that know who this is?
What kind of verse do you kill?
I would
probably
say,
think it's me.
I can tell you the ones that don't know them.
Yeah. It's fair.
I can tell you that.
It's fair. I think.
5%?
No, it's higher than 5. Are you kidding, Rizzler?
No, I don't know. 5%.
I think it's probably closer to 25%.
Not to discuss your age on the air, right? But
talking about me or Spike?
No, it's Spike. I think it's funny.
We all discussed our age on the air.
No, yeah. I know, but Spike's like, you know, 48. He's like, yep. The Rizzler?
He's well, 11. In fairness, I am not.
Yeah, the way you said that was.
I am not the typical 48-year-old. Right. Right? No, I am no. stuck in eternal teenagedom.
Well, and you like music.
I do like
so
music.
So I feel like that's why, you know, you bring the boom, Rizzler.
And
like,
I love TikTok. Let's be clear.
You do love TikTok.
What I love the most is TikTok.
Yes.
The other night, my wife wasn't home, and I was like, am I going to watch a movie or 4 hours of TikTok? I think it's 4 hours of TikTok. Dude, all right.
TikTok's the one app where my wife will send me a link, and I can just never get it open. Like, I click it, it doesn't go to the right TikTok.
Oh,
you know, like,
come on.
It's the old man thing that I do.
Let me ask you this, Elliot. Elliot Shore Parks here with us for Tuesdays with Elliot. And I asked you this before, but I actually have a different question. I brought this up to you. So right now, Nick Sirianni, the Eagles are 12-2. They're tied for the one seed in the NFC.
Correct.
And right now, 8 coaches have shorter coach of the year odds than Nick Sirianni. Sirianni is plus 3,500, the same as Todd Bowles. Behind Kevin O'Connell, Dan Campbell, Sean Payton, Dan Quinn, Mike Tomlin, Andy Reid, and Sean McDermott. So my question is, what do you think it is specifically about Sirianni that he does? Let's put local aside.
Yeah, nationally.
Nationally, that he doesn't get the sort of credit that the other coaches do. Because the first thing I hear, and then coach of the year usually goes to a coach who had an average team, and then they end up being a really good team. Mm. And Kevin O'Connell, I could say that for. But Dan Campbell has been the leader for coach of the year the whole season.
Yeah.
They were in the championship game last year. They had a higher preseason win total than the Eagles did. So what do you think it is about Sirianni that makes national people not respect him?
I think it's two things. One thing Dan Campbell doesn't have to deal with that Nick does is that Howie is viewed as one of the best general managers in the league. Now, obviously, the Lions have a good GM. Like, they have a good roster, right? But I think Nick gets dinged for the talent on his roster when other head coaches do not. And so that leads to the second one, which is he's viewed as he's supposed to win. So him winning doesn't mean anything. But if you look, he has overachieved 3 of 4 years, and I would say considerably overachieved 2 of those, and we'll see what he does this year. But like, if you just look at the over-unders for going into the season, like how many games people thought they would win, mm-hmm. he has won. Oh, and by the time this is season's over, like 12 more games than he was supposed to win based off the public over-under.
Yeah, their preseason over-under this year was 10.5.
And
they're at 12. They'll probably win 14
or 15.
They'll
probably be 14, right? So yeah. He'll go, you know, four or five games over this year. In 2022, he went 4 or 5 games over that year. In 2021, he went, I think it was 2 or 3 games over that year. Mm-hmm. So he is consistently overachieved. Last year, obviously, was an anomaly. That year, you know, is what it is. But I think that's why. I think he's viewed as being supposed to win, and then when he overachieves that, no one gives him credit for it.
But here's the further question. You said he gets dinged for talent when other coaches do not. So the question is why is he getting dinged when other coaches do not?
I don't think people like him.
Is that just
that's
it?
What I think it is.
Just annoying.
I think we can make some sort of rational assessments to why we think it is, but then the coaches that are in front of him are contradict to what that is for mm-hmm. him, if that's what the criteria is. Like, why would Dan Campbell be in front of him?
He doesn't call his plays.
Well, and that's a team that was in the NFC Championship game a year ago.
Yep.
So why would he?
They're not overperforming.
Yeah, exactly. They aren't overperforming. Andy Reid, right? This is a team who has Patrick Mahomes mm-hmm. as his quarterback. You know why Bill Belichick never really won Coach of the Year? Because he had Tom Brady every year. Mm-hmm. So I feel like some of those coaches are deserving. Kevin O'Connell, Tomlin.
Those are the two I would really point to.
And Payton. Sean Payton
out
there with
Bo
Nix with a rookie quarterback.
I would agree with that.
They're doing well. Other than that, I mean, Nick Sirianni, as a matter of fact, you can make the argument coming off of how the season ended last year and with everything that was surrounding him before the season, that he's overachieved again this year.
Well, and also,
like, he should be right there in the thick of the Coach of the Year race.
The other coach you see win the Coach of the Year is someone who was on the hot seat, like, you know, and then overachieved.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I don't think Nick was on the hot seat, but publicly and all those, emails and lists you get, all the like emails you get of like these are the three coaches most likely to be fired. Like Nick was on all of
always
those,
on that.
And so now that he's overachieved, I think it has to be taken into consideration that the Eagles were not supposed to be this good. This is not how they were viewed going into the season.
Yeah, I think he would I would have at this point I would have Kevin O'Connell first and I would have Sirianni second.
Tomlin, you could convince me Tomlin. Going from Fields to Russell Wilson was a pretty ballsy
and nobody hit. Thought Pittsburgh. We didn't know what to expect out of Pittsburgh this year.
And he's done a good job and absolutely, but to your point again, like their over under this year was 10.5 and I do think put hot seat aside, and I do think he almost got fired this offseason. Mm-hmm. I do think he did, and I do think that he came into this year that if it didn't go well, I think he was going to get fired this year. So I think it is fair to say that he was on the hot seat, and I think, and I've said this a number of times, I think look, he'd rather have a job than not have a job, but I think the organization, he was in a very tough position to start this year with how his job was perceived, how he was perceived within his job, how he is perceived nationally within the organization, that the fact that the coordinators got fired, the fact that the coordinators are looked at basically as separate as an offensive head coach and a defensive head coach, at least coming into this year. And I thought he was put into a very difficult situation. And I think the high level of talent, not just high level of talent, but high money level of talent. These are all guys who have been paid.
Right.
That makes it even more difficult, I think, than players that are younger and that are still striving for that second contract. So the fact that AJ was paid, Devontae was paid, the entire offensive line except for Cam Jurgens was paid. Everybody was paid. The quarterback was paid. Everybody was paid on offense.
Well,
I think that makes his job harder, and I think I would be okay with Kevin O'Connell winning it, but I don't think any of these guys should be ahead of Sirianni
this
year.
To your point, he should at least be on the very short list.
Yes.
Like, it's offensive that he's not. To him, like for the job he's done, but also to a little bit like Jalen, when I was saying the job the Eagles need from their quarterback is different from what other teams need. The job the Eagles need from their head coach is also different. Like if I was starting a team and I needed someone to develop a quarterback, build an off, like I don't know if Nick would be my top choice for that. But for this team, someone that needs to manage a bunch of personalities, someone that needs to get along with Howie and let Howie be great at his job, someone that needs to manage coaching in this city, like Nick checks a lot of those boxes. That is McVay a better X's and O's coach? Maybe. But like if he came, maybe, who knows? But if he came here, like
say he is.
I don't know if he is, but if he came here, who knows if he could handle being in this job? Like, maybe Howie's not as good if McVay's here.
You don't know if he could. I also think handling...
Well, he plays in L.A. That's pretty easy.
I think Sean McVay's obviously a better X's and O's guy than Nick is. Why do you do this?
Well, his team doesn't score that many more points.
What? Why do you do this?
What?
Sean McVay has never had the play calling ripped from him. From his organization.
Well, Nick gave the play calling up in 2021.
Okay. You are just they should give you a worm award at Novacare.
But I'm saying, like, all these X's and O's guys that people are so impressed by, they don't score much more than Nick's offense.
Okay. All right.
What? McVay has talent. Does he not have talent?
Do you think that having a lot of his talent hurt for a lot of the year should have...
How many games have A.J., Devontae, and Goddard played together? Or even just A.J. and Devontae. Forget Goddard.
They're missing their two top wide receivers.
And the Eagles have as well for a lot of the year.
Right.
It's true.
He's not even designing the offense, so you can't compare the two.
So I do think he's designing the offense, and I said this... I think the Kellen Moore addition has been the most overhyped addition we've talked about in maybe recent Eagles history. Clearly, at the bye week, they went back to what they did in 2021. And Kellen Moore wasn't here in 2021.
And he's still calling the plays.
Kellen Moore's calling the plays, yes.
Yes, okay, so...
But that's not designing the offense.
Okay, all right. So the offense is great. It's good enough. They always succeed when they need to, but the offensive coordinator doesn't get credit for it.
No, you can give Kellen Moore credit, for sure. Kellen Moore is helpful, yeah.
Okay,
but I'm saying, like, Nick... I think Nick is the main reason, from a coaching perspective, they're this good.
Okay. Elliot, you're a dog guy, right? You have a dog?
Yeah, I love my dog.
It's Kingsley. Yeah, that's it. And if you love your dog, do you give your dog Christmas present?
Of course. Okay. Birthday present, right. Everything.
Anyone, yes. Gotcha day present as
of
well?
Of course.
Okay, all right. So if you have a dog or a cat and you give Christmas presents, Hanukkah presents, the holidays are right around the corner, you've been waiting, go to Dogs and Cats Rule. They have all the presents for dogs and cats. Now, I don't think you're going to need a coat for your cat unless you walk your cat, but you need a coat for your dog. You need a fleece for your dog, sweater as a Christmas present. They got that. They got holiday-themed toys. They got fresh baked treats, really good, and they have the best staff anywhere. That's going to be able to answer all of your questions about, oh, what's going to be good for my dog or cat? Which food should I get? Which supplement should I get? They have all the best products, but even more important, they have the staff that will make sure that you're getting the right product. There's 7 locations. Newtown, Doylestown, Maple Glen, New Hope, Bluebell. Those are all in Pennsylvania. Pennington and Princeton are in New Jersey. If you need any more of this info or need the specific locations, go to dogsandcatsrule.pet. Shop small, shop local, shop family. 215-592-9494. Tasty Cake Dom, you're on WIP. What's up, Tasty Cake?
Hey, Spike, Ike, Dak, and Elliot.
There we go.
What up, Tasty Cake?
Oh, what a joyous day, huh, Ike?
Mm.
I mean, couldn't ask for a better win.
Great win. Oh, great. Best win of the season.
I thought you were talking about the Sixers last night.
Do you think the win was better than the Baltimore win? I think it was.
I think with everything going on, maybe. The Baltimore win was pretty good.
It was a good one. Yeah. Yep.
Like, you got a situation where Pittsburgh's going to try to take away one. Then on top of that, Saquon gets banged up. And what happens? The Green Mamba jumps into action.
Oh, God.
Green Mamba.
Yeah, he's talking
Mamba
about
Mamba mentality. Ike.
Jalen.
They need him to rise up. He rises up every single time.
It's true. Especially on third down.
What's that?
Especially on third down.
Especially on third down. Especially, I mean, time and time again throughout his career, he has willed the Eagles to win.
Yep.
At Kansas City against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they won.
Last he beat Josh year, Allen, too.
Beat Josh Allen down the stretch. Tight game. But in the meaningful minutes, it was Jalen Hurts that made the plays to win the game.
Yep. Can I ask you something? Why would you think that he would make those plays down the stretch and not earlier in the game? Like, what do you think that is? Do you think it's that he thinks about it less? Or what is that? I'm honestly asking. I'm not being a jerk here. Yeah. What do you think has happened in the beginning of games this year that has had them so out of rhythm offensively? Because he's clearly involved in that. So what happens? Because it happens in 2-minute drill, I think, as well. He's particularly good in 2-minute drills. But why do you think that is?
Well, did you ever hear the term Spike Bear Down? When it's time to win or lose, Jalen Hurts bears down.
Mm. Yeah.
That's why.
It's also time to win or lose early in the game.
Gets the W.
Yeah.
Well, last week I called you guys, the best show on the radio.
Yes, sir.
And I said I would absorb whatever you wanted to give me. It wasn't a week to be all Jalen'd up. But this week, you know, I'm not hearing anything. He was spectacular Sunday, and that's all.
I think that's all we're asking for. I think he was definitely good on Sunday. I think that's all anybody's asking for. Not to throw it 45. Everybody flips it and says, "Well, you want him to throw 40." Nobody wants him to throw 40 times a game.
Well, the truest thing though is the mood of the city is always tied to how well the quarterback plays.
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
It's no coincidence that people are super super excited after this win. In a way, they're not after some of the other wins.
Yeah, and to go
not
back
just
to,
Carolina, but even some of the other good wins.
And I'm glad they won the game, but it goes back to the end of the week when we were talking about, would you rather, if you had a choice, would it be a win or the passing game looking good? And why I picked the passing game looking good is part of why people are so excited this week isn't just they beat Pittsburgh. It's how they beat Pittsburgh.
For sure.
I think for those people that were concerned.
Yes.
I'm no more excited this week about the Eagles than I were last week. I feel more or less like, yeah, I knew that was in there.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. You got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith on his team. Jalen has thrown the ball in the past. I think it had more to do with little chemistry.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Little chemistry.
I definitely feel a sigh of relief this week I didn't feel last week at this time.
From that point, I'm right. Yeah. I'm with you on that. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I just mean from the whole passing thing. Plus, I want Saquon to win the rushing title and break the record. So I was actually okay with him not throwing the ball. And I don't need Jalen turning the ball over.
Amen. You know, the chemistry thing was all made up. The chemistry thing was all made up by us anyway.
That's a good point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Spike, now that the NFC Championship game is locked to be in Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
Or
Minnesota.
Yeah, or Minnesota or Detroit. That should be interesting.
There ain't no way Minnesota going to beat Seattle and Green Bay back-to-back. They ain't happening.
I'm with you on that.
Then they're going to be at home and beat Detroit's butt.
That's in
and
Detroit.
That means one of them.
It's in Detroit.
Yeah, that game's in Detroit, Tasty Cake. Yeah.
What's that?
That Minnesota game is in Detroit.
Oh.
The last game was.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though, Tasty Cake. Even with Detroit wanting to get the number one seed, they are leaking oil right now. I don't know what they're going to look like in 2 to 3 weeks.
Montgomery being hurt.
Yeah, they're trying to get to the finish line. Yeah.
Both their next games are away, too.
Yes.
That's tough. And I think they're ripe for an upset this week.
Chicago's bad.
But it's the first game with all these injuries. Like, divisional opponent, second time. Mm. I think there's... Like,
Chicago sucks.
I think there's a 30% chance.
Here's what we need, Tasty King, and you nailed it. I need Minnesota to lose either this week or next week to Seattle or Green Bay, and then go to Detroit and beat Detroit for the NFC North. Because if you're Minnesota, you still would want the 2 seed. You still would want to host a playoff game versus being a wild card team and being on the road following. Because you're either going to be a 1 or 2 seed or a 5 seed.
Well, the other part,
as long as the Eagles win, that is.
Tell me if this connects correctly, but I think you want the Packers to beat the Vikings so that the final week of the season.
They can't be the 2 seed. I'm wrong.
Right. No. These three teams
either
be
one team or the 5.
Well, right? I guess they could be 2 if the Eagles are 1.
Right.
Like if the Eagles get the 1 seed,
yes,
then they would
right.
get
yes.
the 2 seed.
Yes.
But I think you want the Packers to beat the Vikings so that the final week of the season, the Vikings have something to play for against the Lions.
Because
those two teams will be competing for 5 versus 6.
Yes.
That will be what they'll battle for.
Yeah.
Tasty Cake, you got a TV movie. Your dad is Eugene Levy's 78th birthday. He was a great TV dad in American Pie, and I'm going to say it, in Schitt's Creek. That's the name of the show. I can say it.
I'm fine with you saying that.
Jack said Glenn used to say it all the time, so I'm saying it.
Yeah. He did.
All right.
It feels good, right?
Yes, it feels great.
Yeah.
Still a curse word, Elliot.
Tasty Cake. Give us your TV or movie,
well,
Dad.
Well, when I was growing up, Spike, America's dad was Mr. C.
Mr. C.
Cosby.
Oh.
Who?
No, Cosby.
Yes.
It's Mr. Cunningham. That's what I thought. Mr. C.
Oh, when you say Mr. C, you think of Cosby.
No, obviously you are.
Yeah,
yes.
Happy Days. Yes. I forgot Happy
Days.
Mr. C.
That's a good call.
By the way,
Tasty Cake, confidence you said that.
He was rarely called Howard. He was rarely called Mr. C, right? I thought the wife, they called her Mrs. C, right? Wasn't it Potsy?
Yeah, what show was this?
Happy Days.
Mr. C. The young fellas all called him Mr. C.
Yeah, okay. I trust you on it. I like it.
Oh, you know who we need? First of all.
Yeah. Hold on. You can't say America's dad and then do the Happy Days guy. America's dad was always Cosby. Was he not?
Well, it wasn't always Cosby. Yes.
I think you guys are wrong.
It's not now.
Thank you for clearing
Cosby,
that up, Elliot.
Wait a minute. Happy Days was an enormous show.
Yes.
Was an enormous show, Jack.
That's not my point.
Okay.
Happy Days is a lot of different... different storylines, I feel like.
Besides, he's basically saying the father was not the...
Listen, in listening to this radio station for 5 years and working here, everyone's like, oh, he's always America's dad, America's dad. And all of a sudden, now we're changing it to Happy Days, my ass.
All right. Okay.
Happy Days, my ass.
The Twitter question.
You watch a lot of Happy Days?
Not once.
Yeah, me.
I think Cheers and Happy Days are the same show.
Now, Elliot, you'll be interested in both of these Twitter polls. It's brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Visit the only jeweler with over 2,500 Google 5-star reviews, Mark's Jewelers, online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you know who the Rizzler is?
Okay.
Would, do you want to guess on the percentages on do you know who the Rizzler is?
For our fans?
Yeah.
Let's go with no. And I'm going to go with 58%.
Oh, go ahead.
I just think there'll be a lot of people voting no to prove a point.
It is 67%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's the online audience, too.
Yes, it is people who are on Twitter. And then the second one.
Younger.
Does Elliot Shore Parks look more like Daryl Morey or Leonardo DiCaprio? What do we think?
That's definitely Daryl
Morey. Well, here's the good news. There's no third option. So they got to pick, right?
Right.
Yeah, and they're going Daryl Morey.
I think they'll go Daryl Morey.
By how much?
I don't know, 85?
Yeah, to say you look like Leo DiCaprio, yeah, it'd be a landslide.
They can vote however they want. They're wrong. I've gotten it my entire life.
He's kind of fallen off recently from a looks
standpoint. So have I. I'm older now, too. I'm saying when I was in my 20s or like teens, everyone said I looked like Leo.
You got to get fat like Leo. That's what you got
to
do.
I'm trying not to.
Okay.
That's why the boxing classes are.
86%, and we still haven't sent Tucker with a video camera.
How's the boxing classes going?
It's good. Last week,
I don't see any bruises.
You basically like Bernard Hopkins?
Well, I'm not fighting him. Not fighting anyone yet.
Oh, so there's no contact?
Well, with the bag.
Yeah, you crushed that bag.
Yeah, I mean,
bag,
with,
yeah,
with another
yeah,
person
yeah.
is what
no,
I'm
no,
saying.
No,
oh, okay.
No.
Are you ever going to fight another person?
I think the people in the class, I don't know if I
well,
want to
yeah,
fight
you get in there and spar. Is it older people?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, hey, man, take them all down. Hey, man, fair game.
They'll probably kick your ass, man.
I mean, yeah. They are in the class. That is fair.
Yeah.
I will say after my first one, I went up to the instructor. And I was like, oh, thanks for the first whatever. He's like, you might want to try like a beginner.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Which was tougher, Saquon kidding you multiple times or that?
That one hurt. Because there is no beginner class. That's the only class. So I don't know where he wants me to go.
I want to see Elliot boxing a 68-year-old woman. That's what I want. That's what I want your first match.
I mean, some of these people are good. Like, you can tell a lot of these older people take it a lot.
Yeah?
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, man, we got to get video of that class.
Yeah. I don't know how the other people would feel about
form.
That.
I need to see a form.
Oh, the form is, the footwork is the hardest part.
The footwork, yeah, it was hard for Rocky, too.
Yeah, well, he didn't really box. I mean,
well, neither are you.
No, I know, right? Yeah, we're both actors boxing. I'm just Leo. He's yeah, yeah.
You seem like a dead fish boxer. Like,
I actually, I hit
at the end.
I will say, I hit stronger than I thought. I hit stronger than I thought.
Yeah.
It's just
why don't you try the break?
Yeah, you want to arm wrestle?
You want to take one?
I would definitely beat you in an arm wrestling.
You
want to
take a shot to the old gut? Fight.
Wait, no, hold on. Elliot thinks he would beat me in arm wrestling.
Of course,
where's Tucker? Can we get Tucker?
Do you think Elliot would beat me in arm wrestling right now? Oh, I would like to do that.
That's all the confidence I need. Yeah.
I mean, can we do it?
I mean, Elliot is slowly moving to the head of the class of the athletic people at
Thank
station.
Thank you.
For what?
Is Tucker here?
Boxing class.
I'm boxing. Oh, right. I'm doing
I mean,
Pilates.
Don't worry, Jack, you're in the athletic class.
Oh, right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Well,
I don't even know where we
you
could.
You actually played ball in college.
Right here.
Go to the lunch tables out there.
No, we got to do it in here, though. It's got to be on the air.
Or you arm wrestle.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll only take a few seconds.
Right, come on over here.
Oh, he's like, I'll beat you in a few seconds.
I would be pretty. Maybe I'm wrong.
All right. Can you do play
down?
By play?
Of course,
I can.
Yeah.
Should I get Tucker, make sure Tucker's rolling?
I think there is.
Where you wanted at? Right
well,
here.
Tucker's.
Right here.
Okay. All right.
The camera's over there. Where's your camera at?
My camera's right here.
Oh, they got it from all angles?
Yeah. Should we wait till after Jordan? Can you hang out for 20 minutes?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I'll just do it now.
No? You want to do it now? All right, just do play-by-play.
We could build it up. It don't matter to me.
Just do play-by-play.
I'll do it either.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
All right, do we need a countdown, right? Like a 3-2-1?
Yeah, you'll do a 3-2-1.
Because normally I would be holding the top, all right?
He's a little stronger than I thought.
Ready? All right, here
we go. He's a little stronger than I thought, that's all I heard.
3-2, go. No, Elliot! In no time, Elliot takes him down!
You know what happens with you? As soon as...
Yeah, look at
Elliot.
Come on.
Elliot's peacocking.
The problem is, soon as you start going back,
yeah,
your shoulder.
Now you're injured.
Well, I'm not injured. But
no, you did feel it. You're right.
Yeah.
Man's been boxing, man.
He has.
Come on.
I want another one. Good job, Elliot.
Strong right Thank hand.
You.
That's your
he
off hand.
He got me.
I think. I don't know. I write with this hand.
Well, you're right-handed, right?
Yeah, I'm right-handed.
This is your left hand.
You're like almost 40. You got to know which
strong
hand
Twitter
you are.
Arm. Strong
yeah,
Twitter
what
arm.
I tweet with.
Yeah. Congratulations, Elliot.
There you go.
Thank you.
I do want a rematch when we
you
come
You were
back.
A little stronger than I thought. I will
you took
say
down a band member.
I'm an old guy. You shouldn't be that
Well, Jack
proud.
Tells me I'm old, too.
Well, you are old. You're getting
older. Jack likes to call people old.
All right, we got to go. You can get the Go Birds podcast every single day wherever you get your podcasts in the Odyssey app. And I think this is our last Tuesday.
What about your
Clap
Your Hands podcast?
Nah,
we don't really
that
do that.
I don't like that one.
We're on to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. No interest.
Jordan Mailata joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.